What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
And I know we have some thoughts on this Washington Post op-ed for Doug Emhoff. Very pathetic column, in my opinion. Also, masculinity on the ballot this year, apparently. We'll get to that story as well. But before all that, let's get caught up in the world of news. Time for a Dawn Stensland, Big 3 at 9.
It's the Big 3 at 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Discover Lancaster this morning. When we think about 3 years ago today, and that's really taking center focus as commemorations for America's military heroes, patriots, as today marks 3 years since the August 26, 2021 suicide bombing at Abbey Gate, which of course killed 13 American service members and more than 100 Afghans. The Islamic State group claimed, terror group claimed responsibility for that terror attack. And we know that former President Donald J. Trump is scheduled to lay a wreath at Arlington. He is there right now, Arlington National Cemetery, to pay his respects to the service members killed in the bombing. And Trump then heads to Michigan, where he will address the National Guard Association. That'll be later today, the National Guard Association of the United States Conference. Of course, Trump has tied Biden and President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris to the chaotic Afghanistan war withdrawal that happened 3 years ago today. Mm-hmm. I will say that the White House did this morning release a statement and acknowledging the 13 American service members killed, Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren T. Hoover, Marine Corps Sergeant Johanny Picardo, Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole Gee, Marine Corporal Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez, as well as Dagan Page, Marine Corps Corporal Humberto Sanchez, Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Espinoza, as well as Jared Schmitz, and Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCollum, Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, as well as Kareem Niku, Navy Petty Officer, Third Class Maxton Soviak, and Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Nouse. It's important to say that we've not heard, to my knowledge, Biden or Harris speak their names, the 13 names. We saw during the RNC, I mean, it was heart-wrenching when the Gold Star families came out and talked about that. But this was an important step that the White House this morning did put out quite a beautiful statement about the 13 Americans, as well as many others wounded.
Well, they do have blood on their hands. This is their disaster. This is their withdrawal. They were in office for 7 months when August of 2021 and Abbey Gate occurred. And, you know, it's just, I'm glad that you said their 13 names there. And that's why I didn't want to interrupt you. But, I mean, when we talk about what's going on right now, you've got more strikes in Israel between Israel and Hezbollah. Joe is on another vacation. He just vacationed in California. He's vacationing in Delaware. Kamala's only focused on running for president. I mean, the Middle East right now is an unmitigated disaster. Who's running the country right now? It's like we have our top two commanders, one and two, with separate agendas. One's on vacation and the other's campaigning. Who's running the day-to-day operations right now? That's what I would like to know.
It's a good question. And with so much military news happening around the world, with the, as you alluded to, Nick, with the crises in the Middle East. And that, again, it looked like after the weekend back and forth, now they're back at it again between Hezbollah, Israel firing back. So we have those explosions happening in the Middle East as that crisis begins to escalate again.
Yep.
And so a lot of military news, if you think about that, and it really puts into focus the background of the Vice President, Kamala Harris, you know, and thinking about who is qualified to be Commander-in-Chief.
I mean, if I'm the Deuce man today, and the Binder, if she's available, and the Binder's giving one of her pathetic, tell-you-nothing press briefings, I mean, who's calling the shots right now? Is it Jake Sullivan? Is it Anthony Blinken? It certainly isn't Kamala or Joe.
Number two in the big three, a group of bipartisan U.S. lawmakers on a task force who are investigating the assassination attempt against former President Donald J. Trump are expected, scheduled to visit the scene of the crime in Butler, Pennsylvania today. And this is at least the second time that I know of since the July 13th attempt to take the life of Donald J. Trump. So that puts Pennsylvania as well as J-13 in the focus. Number three, I'm going to go to this. And this is something, you know, we know our own Nick Cale on his joining on his bike ride, of course, to raise money to back the badge and back the families and raise money and awareness for the family members, the children of fallen law enforcement across the region. But what about another bike ride that is actually very famous here in Philadelphia that took place over the weekend? The so-called, well, it's called the Philly Naked Bike Ride.
Yeah,
Naked
my invitation got lost in the mail, Dawn. I did not receive that invite. Not that anybody wants to see me pedaling around like Pee Wee Herman butt naked, nor would I do it.
I don't do the ooh for you, but just in general.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most people do it
for me as
well.
Sweaty people, naked, riding their bikes.
Yeah. By the way, if you ride a bike naked in August, do you not get the chafing? Is that actually a better strategy? Or do you have to put sunblock on down there? See, these are the things we have to think about here, Dawn.
Inquiry minds.
Yes.
I know.
But go ahead with your details.
It's the 15th annual Philly Naked Bike Ride. The annual bike ride started, obviously, in 2009, promotes cycling as a key form of transportation and fuel-conscious consumption, and it's meant to encourage body positivity.
Oh, geez.
If you saw some of these individuals, like, really? You know, we don't want to see you naked, but they said the
Sloppy
ride...
Sloppy Chris Christie.
Could you imagine Chris Christie on a bike naked?
Nope. Because what you have to do is then imagine the bike broken.
Well, the bike would be broken for sure.
Yes, the bike would be broken. It would not look like a bike. It would look like a skateboard. I'll tell you that.
Oh,
flat
my
as
goodness.
A pancake.
Yeah, but they were naked. They were riding around town.
Yeah.
And also they participants, by the way, were not required to ride completely in the buff. So as bare as you dare.
Oh.
So some people chose to be completely naked, but others, you know, would wear like maybe a bikini, so for ladies, like a bikini top and a thong, but still.
And what, at the finish line, you had what, deranged left wingers and drag queens with story time? Is that the...
Come on.
Yeah, that's probably what they do.
Oh, God. Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. Was Doug Emhoff there?
Yeah, maybe. Sexiest...
Because he's sexy Doug.
First that's gentleman. Right.
The definition of a progressive sex symbol, Doug Emhoff.
Gosh. I can't believe that was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that was a real headline.
I know you got some thoughts. Like, we're gonna tee you up. I'm going to get you wound up real quick here.
Oh, jeez.
Ew.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, not for nothing, but what if somebody borrows your bike and then you realize that they borrowed it for the naked bike ride?
No.
Yeah, you're going to have to totally disinfect
spray
the seat,
down the
buddy.
Seat,
yeah,
right?
You're going to need to take that bike through a car wash before you give it back to me, pal.
Well, maybe one more reason to discover Lancaster. I don't think they have any naked bike rides out
of
Lancaster.
No, no. You can get a naked buggy ride, though.
No.
With the Amish.
No, never.
Yeah. You get a little shoe fly pie, get the whole bit, right?
You know, I went to Lancaster once. There's a Costco there, and there's actually a stable to park the horses. I couldn't believe it.
It is unbelievable.
I could not believe it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, with Discover Lancaster's Wheels and Waterways Trail, explore an antique auto museum, paddle scenic creeks, and enjoy a train ride on America's oldest continuously operated railroad. Just 90 minutes from Philadelphia, Discover visit discoverlancaster.com. Thank you. Discover Lancaster on this Monday morning.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 9/11 as we continue here on this Monday morning. Our movie clip coming up in about 8 minutes. So this is, you know, I give the New York Times credit for crushing Kamala Harris with the column about joy not being a strategy. But now I got to crush the Washington Post. And this is an op-ed. And I know, Sean, you have some thoughts on this. And then we have to turn to Dawn because this is, you know, I can't sit here and say what kind of man is sexy. I'll leave that up to the women out there.
Oh, no, go for it.
Yeah, it's not my wheelhouse. If we want to judge women, I'll judge women. But op-ed, Doug Emhoff, The Modern Woman's Dream Man. This was written by Catherine Rampell, which, oh, by the way, who is, I'll give her credit last week. I played her in the Big Take when she was crushing mainstream media on the absurdity of the economy with those 818,000 jobs. But then she has the temerity to write, Doug Emhoff has been called many things in recent years. Second gentleman, goofy dad, crappy Jew. Her words, not mine. But perhaps his most appropriate title, progressive sex symbol. Move over Ryan Gosling. The modern female, Ryan Gosling, right? The modern female fantasy is embodied by the man who might soon become our first gentleman. Emhoff appears to be a genuine man with an impressive career. He's smitten with his wife and supports her ambitions, as is obvious from his convention speech and their sweet interactions on the campaign trail, like buying Doritos in a stage video. But most important for this sexy man, Emhoff is secure enough with his own masculinity to sometimes prioritize his wife's ambitions over his own. Now, let me just say this. Like, I give him credit for letting his wife take the stage, but I don't think you need to get a ton of credit if she's the breadwinner. Let her be the breadwinner. Like, I've always said this, right?
She's not the breadwinner.
I know. But I've always said this as a man. Like, if my wife was like a physician or a super lucrative, successful attorney, and she was making $300,000-$500,000 a year, $750,000, $1 million, I would have, trust me, nobody can do nothing better than me. I would quit. I'd golf. I would gamble and I would drink and I would support her and I am totally good leeching off of my wife if she made bank. So I have no problem with any dude that decides to do that, that marries a woman who is super wealthy. But you got to give me a break with this Doug Emhoff. And this goes back to the Pablo Torres clip on MSNBC that the Democrat Party is the party of the NFL. Here's who resonates with Kamala Harris. White liberal women, older liberal men, and beta males. This alpha thing that the Democrats are trying to do with Tim Walz and Doug Emhoff. And by the way, Doug Emhoff compared to Tim Walz with, you know, all of his lies and Fugazi career made up nonsense. And like, you know, he's a football coach. You know, he technically enlisted and he was on the roster in the military, so to speak. So he's probably still more of a man than Doug Emhoff will ever be. Even though he took his tail and went home when he had the chance to go to Iraq and he got into politics. We don't need to revisit that. But I'm sorry, you got to give me a break with this. This mask, like the Democrats, I think have a lot in their favor. Masculinity is not one of them right now. That doesn't mean that there's not type A's out there that vote Democrat. They certainly do. Okay. You know, I'll give you the James Carville, right? He's a Democrat from Louisiana. It makes no sense, but those people exist. But Sean, I know you were tweeting about this over the weekend. Like, I'm sorry, you can't take the Washington Post seriously when you are writing columns about Doug Emhoff being the embodiment of a progressive sex symbol. Who's buying that nonsense?
I don't know what they're going for. That's the thing.
Don't either.
You know,
yes.
I'm not sure what, like, whose mind are you changing, right? Like, who is looking at this going, okay, I'm not sure who I'm voting for.
But you sold me on this, right?
The potential first gentleman is a progressive sex symbol. Like, I'm signing up on OnlyFans to follow Doug Emhoff
So this wins. So this wins over women. Dawn, I don't get this. Like, isn't this the guy that was banging the nanny? Right. And he was having an affair as he's married and he's having sex with the nanny. And you're going to tell me he's a sign of progressivism and sex symbol? I mean, if it was Trump, they would call him a dog.
Yeah.
So he and his first wife divorced. The nanny, I don't think the nanny has spoken out about it, but she, it's been widely reported that the nanny became pregnant. So she was pregnant, and it appears allegedly that she had terminated that pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so really an ugly situation for Emhoff and his kids, by the way.
Right.
Who obviously forgave him. This was their nanny. So think about the hot mess. Mm. And think about, you know, not for nothing, but what a lazy guy. You can't even go out. Really, the nanny? Like, you can't even find anybody outside your house? I mean, typical. Seriously, like, oh my gosh.
But
like
think about this from the media standpoint. You always talk about media bias by omission and the way they frame things. So Trump has an affair with Stormy Daniels.
Allegedly.
I never did that. It never happened. It never happened.
I didn't pay her for sex.
First of all, her name is Horseface.
So Trump does what he does with Stormy Daniels. You know, the guy should be hung up by his bootstraps. Yeah, you know, Doug Emhoff sleeps with the nanny, and he's what women dream of. Really? Come on, man.
I just want to know what do you want from this article? Like, what is the reason for putting this out? Is it maybe we're buying the psyop? Like, we're just because we're talking about it. Maybe that was the goal. What? There's nothing else you could write about. Nothing else. But now Doug Emhoff, Dorito Man, is a progressive sex. Dougie Doritos is a progressive sex symbol. Like, this is.
Give me a break.
Okay. So this is the joy that you're campaigning on? I don't know. Well, I can't figure out what they're trying to get at.
No, and this goes back to what we talked about last week and 2 weeks ago. It was Mina Kimes from ESPN that said, this kind of masculinity is what we need in America. She was propping up Tim Walz, who, you know, again, is a complete pathological liar. So a man mm-hmm. who lies and a man who cheats on his wife is what you call masculine and a progressive sex symbol? Okay. And then I've got this story in front of me from Fox News saying masculinity is on the ballot, with the headline being "Competing visions of being a man in America is at the center of the Trump-Harris matchup." I mean, it's really remarkable. But actually, if you've been following and paying attention, Sean, it's not remarkable, because this is what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to tell you Kamala represents joy, that Tim Walz is the way you should be as a man, because they can't make it about the things that truly matter, which are the issues at hand. The economy, the global wars, the border, because they've got ungots on that. So they have to create a diversion. And how do they create the diversion? They create it through the media, because they're in lockstep together. So now they'll prop up Tim Walz as, well, this is what a football coach really looks like. And this is what a president should be, joyous and giggling and laughing. But by the way, doesn't have a solution to any of the issues that Donald Trump didn't create, that her and Joe created. So they don't even know how to fix the problems that they have created. And all of this is meant to be a total distraction. It's like throwing a stink bomb in, right? And to get you off the scent and get you off the trail and focus on stuff that doesn't matter. Now, if you want to say abortion's on the ballot, okay, we've seen that play out for the last 2 years. But masculinity's on the ballot? Look, you're going to lose middle-class, working-class men across this country. But the Democrats have a lot of things in their favor. I don't understand the approach here. And if I'm Trump and I'm J.D. Vance, I'm not even sure I address it. Because I think most type A masculine men are probably going to vote for Trump and Vance to begin with, right?
I would think so. Even though they want to brand. So they brand J.D. Vance is weird, but they can laud over and drool over Doug Emhoff. I mean, look, I say this, you do not hate the media enough. You just don't. Mm-hmm. And they're not your friend. They're not. I mean, look, we could talk nice about how the New York Times said you can't run a campaign on joy. It's not a policy. Fine. That's not. They're still not our friends. That's the blind squirrel theory, right? That squirrel's blind. It somehow found the nut. That's great. But I just can't believe there are Americans who, and there's a chart. I think I put it up earlier today. There's a chart. That's like Democrats, 73% of Democrats trust the media, 36% of independents trust the media, and 10% of Republicans trust the media. So 2/3 of the country know the media is full of sugar, honey, iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats are like, oh, these guys are great. They're great. They're fantastic. Like, can we, what more do you need, moderate Americans out there? to show you that the Democrats are on an island by themselves with these beliefs, that everybody else is tired of it. Everybody else is tired of it. And then you get WAPO putting out that Doug Emhoff is a sex symbol. And that's a reason to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. You're right about the whole Stormy thing, too. Whether it's Stormy, Marla Maples, whatever the background is. Oh, Billy Bush on the bus with the grab him. That's no good. But when Doug Emhoff, you know, overnight under the covers, little shenanigans with the nanny and a child comes out, it's, oh, well, you know, this is appealing to women. If it is, women got a lot of splaining to do, okay? Mm-hmm. And I know they don't speak for all women, but, I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
I agree.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Back in the day when Donald Trump was adored and beloved by the media, you know, he'd show up in Home Alone 2. He would hug Oprah. He would go on The View and shake hands with Joy Behar and Barbara Walters. It really is remarkable. You put an R in front of somebody's name and then all of a sudden you're dead to them. And that played out on Friday. Keith Olbermann comes out and says, oh, Bobby Kennedy, you're dead to me. Billy Baldwin was tweeting over the weekend, the Baldwin that nobody seems to give a rip about. He's saying, oh, Bobby Kennedy's had aspirations now. Bobby Kennedy, you're dead to me. I know everybody has family issues with politics. I have them in my own family. Me and my mother-in-law go back and forth, but it's never been to the point where, and we've had like shouting matches over it, like, you know, over like a bottle of wine on the deck on a Friday night where, you know, it got contentious. But it's never been to the point for me where I've disavowed somebody, or same thing with my mother-in-law. But I mean, I know families have had to deal with this. Have either of you had to actually have stop having communication with a family member? Like, were they cut you off because you were a Trump supporter? It hasn't happened to me yet, but I was wondering if it's happened to you guys. Who?
Oh, big time.
In-laws or blood relatives?
Blood relatives.
Wow. Sorry.
Because you didn't grow up in a conservative family, right?
I did. Well, you know what?
Or did you?
It's funny because I went to, you know, as far as I know, my parents have voted for both parties.
Okay.
I don't know if they've, you know, I don't, as far as I know, I believe both my parents voted for Bill Clinton, right? Because a lot of people thought he was a good president. The country was in a good place back then.
Clinton would be viewed as a centrist by today's standards. Yeah.
They'd call him a white supremacist too. Or, you know, a Nazi or something.
But because he had the house in Newt Gingrich, they held him.
Right.
They held his feet to the fire, and he did work with the Republicans. So they had the yin and the yang going on.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. So I mean, I started a grassroots movement on Long Island when I lived there, and one person in my family in particular, we don't speak his name because why give him the power? Decided I was, I don't know, I'm a Nazi. I mean, the really, really nasty stuff all over social media. Nasty. I mean, terrible, terrible. You don't say things like this about people. I don't say things like this about people. It got ugly. And listen, if that's who he really was, no love lost, right? That's how it goes. And there's more than that. There's things that happen. I hear conversations that have taken place when I'm not present. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's fine. You want to feel a certain way because I vote for someone that you don't like? That says more about you than it does about me. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it has happened, and I'm not the only one. I know that when I met all these folks that we got together with on Long Island in the summer of late summer, early fall of 2020 and onward, that a lot of people shared these stories. You know, it was like, well, COVID doesn't matter if, you know, Thanksgiving things are canceled now because we're not friends with our family anyway. It sucks. And honestly, I really do believe that was part of, you know, the Democrat goal. Maybe not rank and file Democrat voters, but the puppet masters, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've always wanted to drive a wedge between people. They want to atomize people. They want to destroy the nuclear family. They want to pit brother against brother, sister against sister, because divided we fall. And that's why the RFK, this RFK thing is so big. And that's why they're reacting the way they're reacting to it. If it wasn't a big deal, you wouldn't have had Keith Olbermann, you know, crying urine all over Twitter, you know, for hours. Right. And by the way, have you ever noticed that Rosie O'Donnell and Keith Olbermann are starting to look like each other?
Stop.
That's kind of weird. They really do. They're starting to resemble each other.
Was that you I saw over the weekend with the side by side? I knew I saw that on social media. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was. They very closely resemble each other. But if it wasn't a big deal, they wouldn't be flipping out.
Yeah.
The reason why it's a big deal is because they don't like unity. Because United, we win. And United, when we're united, they lose. And they don't want to see this camaraderie. They don't want to see America go back to the days where you can set aside your differences and work together for a common good. They don't like the whole teamwork makes the dream work type deal. They don't like the NFL locker room where, you know, your offensive lineman may be a Democrat, your quarterback may be a conservative, but he's still going to block for the QB so that the team wins, right? They don't like that. They don't like seeing the unity. They want to control everybody, and they want everyone else to be divided below them so that we're fighting with each other while they're reaping the benefits and kind of just, you know, staying in power. It's straight out of critical theory. It is Marxism 101. That's their game plan. And so, you know, you talk about families kind of splitting over it or being at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. It's what they've wanted, and it worked.
You're right. All right, we'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show in about 15 minutes. Before then, because we have no voicemails this week with Stalker off, let's get to What's on the Cut Sheet, part two.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
Part two.
All right, I mentioned Donald Trump as he is laying wreaths in Arlington today, marking the 3-year anniversary since the botched withdrawal in Afghanistan. And we're going to hear from CNN as they tried to pin this on Trump in just a moment. It'll be clip number 20. But boys, I want to read you Trump's post on Truth Social, just posted about 15 minutes ago, where he said the following. This is the 3rd anniversary of the botched Afghanistan withdrawal, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. Gross incompetence, 13 dead American soldiers, which Dawn gave you their names in the big three, hundreds of people wounded and dead Americans, and billions of dollars of military equipment left behind. You don't take our soldiers out first, you take them out last when all else is successfully done. Russia then invaded Ukraine, Israel was attacked, and the USA became and is a laughingstock all over the world. The fake news media remains silent in order to protect the worst administration in the history of our country, MAGA 2024. Yeah, so, you know, it really is an embarrassing feat if you believe and you fight for our servicemen and women and those that risk their lives. And honestly, I think I just saw this last week. I think it was in Afghanistan where they were like throwing a parade and basically trotting around our military equipment left behind. I mean, it was almost like an insult to us and a flipping of the bird saying, hey, thanks for all you did. And here we are 3 years later. And we, you know, this is the thing that's so annoying to me, Dawn, is everything that they said would happen under Trump has happened under Joe Biden, right? Oh, if Trump gets access to the nuclear codes, he's got the button, World War III. And when you go back to August of 2021, that to me opened up the floodgates for the rest of the world to say, you know what? America is soft right now. America is weak, and it's there for the taking globally. And now we got three wars going on. They could smell blood in the water with Biden's weakness, and they capitalized on it, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Let's get.
Let me say that. I want to point this out because. Remember in August of 2021 when we withdrew from Afghanistan and we left all the stuff behind, the military equipment, billions of dollars of military equipment. Remember what they said? They floated the narrative. Well, this is a different Taliban, right? They kind of called them like the Taliban 2.0. They were like, no, it's not a big deal. It's not what they used to be. Okay. 2 days ago, this is Mario Knoffel on Twitter. The Taliban has banned Afghan women from showing their faces or speaking out loud in public, calling their voices too tempting. Women are also prohibited from looking at men they aren't related to and must fully cover their bodies to avoid corruption. The brutal crackdown doesn't end there. Reports reveal a wider pattern of violence against women, including sex slavery, forced marriages, beatings, and disappearances. It's a systemic effort to silence half of the population. Despite the oppressive laws, there's no global outrage, no protests on college campuses, no statements from the White House. This is the group of people that we were told it's all right if they have our military equipment because they're a new group of people. They're different than they were. They've learned. This is the party of women's rights, they want to tell you, that has given them our military equipment. These are people who hate us, hate everything about our country, and they're flying our helicopters around, proud of the fact that 13 of our servicemen and women were killed by one of them 3 years ago today. And we have nothing. We're sitting here. There's a clip of Kamala Harris. They asked her reaction about that. She laughed about it. How on earth anybody could support this regime for four more years is beyond me. The only thing I could think of is they don't know, because this filthy media, this filthy, disgusting mainstream media wouldn't dare report on what I just said about the Taliban. They wouldn't dare do it. They wouldn't dare do it. The party of women's rights empowering this group, the Taliban, this group, to continue the atrocities against women over there in Afghanistan. And folks, I'm no feminist, but I like to think of myself as a decent human being. Nobody should be treated like that. But you gave them billions of dollars of military equipment to enforce this type of rule in Afghanistan, and people are still going to vote for it. Sick. Absolutely sick.
It is.
Yep.
I don't like it.
I agree. And that media you mentioned would include CNN and Dana Bash, who actually had the nerve to try to pin Afghanistan on who? Oh, Donald Trump, of course.
Of course.
Clip number 20. Here's the ex-wife of John King. Take a listen to this.
As you well know, the Trump administration negotiated the withdrawal agreement from Afghanistan with the Taliban and the State Department.
A conditional agreement, and he left Bagram Air Base. He left 2,500 troops. His advisors came to him and said, the Taliban haven't lived up to it. And he said, fine, deal's off. So how is it that the Democrats can back away from the Iran deal, from the border, from Keystone XL, can turn the page on literally dozens of Trump policies, but yet they're going to convince us that they were somehow handcuffed with a Doha agreement that Trump himself said the Taliban didn't live up to? It's a bunch of BS, and they know it. And to not acknowledge that is a slap in the face to the veterans and the Gold Star families.
That's well said by Mike Waltz from Florida, by the way, who did a really nice job there, because Dana Bash obviously trying to pivot, trying to have an agenda, try to blame, you know, when it rains, it's Trump's fault. You know, basically anything that's gone wrong in the country, whether it was when Trump was in office or out of office, you know, the economy, it's all still Trump's fault. It's all COVID's fault. All they do is try to pin blame on everybody else for their failed policies. And nobody that is covered and chronicled our military with an ounce of competence or an ounce of merit and has some skins on the wall with these foreign relations would ever put this on Donald Trump. Yet here's Dana Bash trying to make the case for that, Sean. That's the thing that's so infuriating. And I'm glad that that network hardly exists. Nobody, think about this. We give CNN more airtime for our audience with a bigger base of 250,000 people than they have watching the stinking show live.
It's insane to see that everything. Look, 12 of the last 16 years, right? We've mentioned Democrat rule. The last 4 years, Democrat rule. And yet you have a candidate, Kamala Harris, who's running on some sort of hope and change platform. Change from what? Can we answer that question? What are we changing from? Them. They caused it. Okay. If you have an arsonist holding a book of matches, and you know that's an arsonist, and you know what matches do, are you going to trust that that person's not going to light another fire? This woman just went out there a couple of weeks ago, right? And all price controls, we know how that works. This is a communist person, right? This is a person who's going to destroy this country more than it's been destroyed the last 4 years. And people are like, well, no, she's new. It's a new thing. It's a fresh face. She has energy. Oh, and by the way, she's a woman of color, you know, and she eats Doritos. Like, this is, how are you going to run on a change and a hope and, the Obama platform when you're the party in power? And it's not just that they're the party in power. She's the vice president. Mm-hmm. How could anyone take this narrative seriously? And then the Afghanistan withdrawal. That's where it all started for Sleepy Joe. The approval rating starting to slide.
Mm-hmm.
The Afghanistan withdrawal is Trump's fault now? How is it Trump's fault? He wasn't anywhere near office.
Mm-hmm.
He was out.
It was over. 7 months removed.
7 months.
Yep.
My goodness. But they're going to try. Yep. They're going to continue to gaslight. It's just, I lose my patience, as you can tell.
I know. I got to play this one. This one's right for Dawn, right in her wheelhouse as a journalist and not trying to be a propagandist. Clip number 11. This is John Carl, I believe, from ABC News, who gets into a battle with Arkansas Senator Republican Tom Cotton.
This is epic.
This is unbelievable. I wish we would have actually, I should have played this in the first installment at 7:45 this morning, as they go back and forth on what Kamala Harris is actually going to install policy-wise. And again, you get into a debate with a journalist. Why doesn't Kamala Harris come out here and defend her positions on where she stands on certain policies? Why is the media carrying her water? Clip 11, Tom Cotton, John Carl.
And President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now. She knows.
How do you know that's not her position? How do you know that's not her position?
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for all.
She has not said that. Okay. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that, but the last thing that she said.
But this was not a radical convention. I mean, she as you heard me go through with Bernie Sanders, she is not taking the positions of the far left of her party. She's clearly making an effort to move to the middle.
I did hear what you said to Senator Sanders, and yeah. I thought it was clear that he's very disappointed that she's taking these efforts not to change her positions, but to hide her positions, John. The American people are totally justified to conclude that Kamala Harris is a dangerous San Francisco liberal based on what she campaigned on the last time she ran for president and what this administration has done for the last 4 years. Again, you would have thought watching the Democratic convention last week that the Democrats are not in office, that they're not in power, that they're campaigning against an incumbent Republican, when in reality, she's been part of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration for 4 years. And when she campaigned for president in her own right, she did, in fact, promise things like decriminalizing illegal immigration and taking away health insurance.
But that's a position she's clearly changed on. And
no,
she said she has changed. Yes, yes, yes,
no,
she has.
No, she has not.
All right, so a couple of things there, and Dawn, I want to get your thoughts on this because this is just embarrassing by John Carl. So he's going to sit there and say, no, Kamala's moving towards the middle, and we're moving to be more of a centrist. Well, wait a minute. The one policy that she has floated out there is a communist agenda on price controls. It doesn't seem very moderate and centrist to me. But what I think's happening here is, with her being hidden, is she knows she's going to alienate some people. If she continues to push far-left ideology and policies, she's going to lose that moderate Democrat. If she is actually thinking about being more moderate, she knows she's going to lose the far left. She's damned if she does and damned if she doesn't. But that's just embarrassing journalism there by John Carl.
He is hard to watch for me because he's so over the top biased. And I love that Tom Cotton calls him out.
Yeah.
And says, how do you know that? What do you, and on the other side, if you're Trump-splaining, isn't he Kamala-splaining? But by the way, one of the headlines this morning is that former President Donald J. Trump is actually speaking out about this horribly biased interview where Tom Cotton, I mean, he did a great job,
mm-hmm.
but Trump now saying that he's considering not participating in the upcoming ABC News debate with the Veep, Kamala Harris, after the network conducted what he called a very biased interview with mm-hmm. Republican Senator Tom Cotton.
Yep. Man, we're going to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, because I don't have a great feeling about these debates as far as what's coming up as of now for September 10th and October 1st. All right, we'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and what occurred today in music history as we put a bow on a Monday show here on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
There's so much breaking as we're speaking right now. First of all, the commemorations that have begun as America thinks about the 13 killed at Abbey Gate. And with President Joe Biden, where is he? Where is the Veep? Where is Kamala Harris? So we'll get into that. We also are going to be following the and tracking these developments right here in Pennsylvania with the team of investigators congressional investigators on a task force, and they are tasked with looking into the attempted Trump assassination right here in Pennsylvania in Butler. So two Democrats and one Republican, Mike Kelly, they are on this task force. We're following that as well. There's so much happening today. We have great interviews. We have great audio. And we have a lot developing this back-to-school Monday morning. So don't miss a minute.
All right. Looking forward to that top of the hour. Now we wrap it up on a Monday with what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. Kale and Company.
Today, August 26th. We celebrate the birthdays of Adrian Young from No Doubt, who's now 55, Dan Vickery from The Counting Crows, who's 58, as well as Shirley Manson from Garbage, who's also 58. And a heavenly birthday shout-out to Jack Holder from Black Oak, Arkansas. We also lost Laura Branigan on this day in 2004, and Alan Woody from the Allman Brothers in 2000. Sing of the Coots, Suspicious Minds by Elvis in 69. Yes, with Greg out, I'm getting as much Elvis in as I can. You Really Got Me by the Kinks in 64. And I'm a Boy by The Who in 66. Album include Walking the Fallen by Avenged Sevenfold in 2003. Motorizer by Motorhead in 2008. And My Own Prison by Creed in 1997. By the way, they are fantastic Friday night in Hershey. Also in 77, Kiss play the first of three nights at the Forum in Inglewood. The shows are actually compiled for their Alive 2 album. In 72, Looking Glass is atop the singles chart with Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. In 70, the five-day Isle of Wight Festival kicks off in England. And in 87, Sonny Bono announced he was running for mayor of Palm Springs, California. But lastly, on this day in 69, yes, Elvis Presley cracks himself up during his show in Vegas, changing the lyrics of Are You Lonesome Tonight to Do You Gaze at Your Bald Head and Wish You Had Hair?
Yes.
So I ask this question, Nick.
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
For Kale Company, I'm Phil Lovequist.
I knew exactly where you were going, Philip. Nice work. And yes, I do. Sean Farish, great stuff, buddy. What do you say? You join us again tomorrow.
Oh, I say game on. Let's go. And in under 24 hours, we're doing it all over again. The best way to start your day. Let's do it.
All right. That'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.